Angela Tove, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know what happened with that line yesterday, but I sure couldn't get it on any phone.
Well, I don't know either, because others were able to get in, so.
Yeah, it was really weird. Tried it on both phones and nothing happened. No connection, no.
I understand.
By the way, you want to put through that,
yeah, you're being recorded, so I understand what you mean. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The, please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Yadula Shaminka Pati Sarura Palafegimo Yutak Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Saharenu No Ra Ufreshayim Sintet Nun Nagibor Dor Sheyechudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachameh Tikatcha Tami Bet Resh Sadi Tav Gimel Chasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adcha Ketufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tari Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notze Chesed L'alavim Notze Avon Wafesha V'chata'a V'nakei. We will now read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's from the Parsha of Yitro. It's Pasuk 29 in the Zohar, Hasulam. But we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu, Hilu, Hilu, Urchimu. Leahta, Leshem, Yud, He, Bavav, He. Beyehuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael. Lemud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayino, Amadunai, Elohino, Alena, Maasei, Adenu, Konene, Alena, Maasei, Adenu, Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tane Nam Dekudsha Parihu Komad Aved Leela Witata Kolaihu Ishot Yovada Ikshot Leela Mila Bialma Ivae Barnash Vedach Yalea Mineya Ulan Haga Peya Kalana Sehakulu Ovada Big Shot Inun Wikola Itzberis Pi Alma. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is bowing with Hashem, bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayitchav vayavo Hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon El hamelech tavo Not amar achoti udlabev leene shete levivot leevre miada. The second verse that we study is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha Va'aoni Lokisiti Amarti ode ale peshai Ladonai ohe wahe Liata nasata Awon chatati Bela. The year 5777, the year of the goat, also has two verses that connect to its energy. And the first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of this verse, we're able to parse satsuki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, they can be permuted into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of the name are separated by seven letters each. Ki im ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause that refreshes, also has two verses. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Ayulima Lilo Yahlu Lehashit Et Kol Haolot Vayehaskum Achechem Halavim Ad Kilot Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu Hakohanim Ki Halavim Yishre Levav Lehikadesh Meha Kohanim. These 25 words can be, when we take the first letters of the 25 words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Alame He 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 Aka'a Rekaha. The second verse that connects to the pause that refreshes is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba'adonai yo'ewahe ade'ad ki bi'ah yo'he adonai yo'ewahe tur olami. The year 5775 that has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses in this year that connects to this energy. Job chapter 7 verse 19 is the first verse we study. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni atili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyim asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halakti ivchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto v'kol alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanesa yoved ro'av yom ru'ayos. The year 5774 has one verse that connects to its energy of peace in the Middle East. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by saying the letters of the name with their root vowel out loud. Wahe wayo layo bayo te alame mehe shila lahe aka aka eta. Hezayo alada la awa he heya yozala me behe he reyo he tome la awa kalayo la wawa pe heya nula ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nuta he. Hey, 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 mayoka, wa la la yo la hey, sa a la areo, ashi la mayo hey, wa hey wa da nu yo, hey hey wa shi a me me, nu nu wa nu yo ta, me me hey, hey wa yo, nu me me yo yo la. Hey re hey mates are wa me be yo hey hey anu wa me hey yo da me be me nu ko ayo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim we connect in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey me a yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me a ha yo ke yo me nu hey 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 wa nu yo hey hey she hey hey she a yo re ta she a hey re la yo a wa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey. Ka ako me nu da anu yo hey wa me re hey a yo hey sa hey she hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a a la me ta hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu a sa me la he, he a yo no ko me, yo re la he be he, me za re wa he be, yo a he a la wa, me za yo da he be, me ka ko a la a, he he wa re la he, yo yo me he la yo, he me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the nineteenth day of Shabbat, Rabbi Binyamin Zev Shapiro, Rabbi Yitzhak Baruch ben Rabbi Eliyahu's Sofer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yechayel Michael Aaron Weinberg, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yehuda Greenfield, Rabbi Elimelech Menachem Landau, and Rabbi Shmuel Karlbach. Rabbi Herschel Mashinsky, and the Tzaddikim who were born on the 20th day of Shabbat, which starts this evening at sundown, Rabbi Chaim David Dr. Bernhardt, Rabbi Ovadia Hadja, Asher ben Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Avraham Abba Friedman, Rabbi Yosef of Yampoli, and the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach we say in a whisper. Okay. class is going to be a class on cantillation marks and troche. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the row 15. Excuse me for the interruptage. I didn't have my computer set properly, and so something came on unexpectedly. As I was saying, the class will be on the trope, which is the cantillation marks on the letters, and the handout can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 15, the second column from the left. The following is a discussion of the trope or the cantillation marks that are used as pronunciation tools, as well as chanting the tunes when reading from the Torah. The majority of this material comes from Wikipedia as the source material, as well as an essay from Chabad.org on the question, why do Torah and Haftorah have different trope? That essay was written by Yehuda Shurpin. My commentary will emphasize the Kabbalistic aspects of these marks as well. The definition. My commentary. The Masoretic text is a scroll of the Chumash, the five books of Moses, with two additions. Vowels are written around the words that are written in or on the scroll. And there are other marks, not vowels, are also written in and on the scroll, also around the words. This scroll is dated early in the Common Era. These marks are known in English as the accents, notes, or trope symbols, and in Hebrew as Ta'amei HaMikra, or just Ta'amim. Some of these signs were also sometimes used in medieval manuscripts of the Mishnah. The musical motifs associated with the signs are known in Hebrew as nigun, or negidot. And this is not to be confused with the Hasidic meaning of nigun. And in Yiddish, as trope. The word trope is sometimes used in English with the same meaning. Trope is the tune used when Torah reading and other texts based on a cantillation mark system. Most communities use six different kinds of trope throughout the year. The common trope used on Shabbat, holiday and weekday Torah readings. There are parts of the Torah that are read with different tunes, such as the Song of the Sea, as well as the Esser Dibrot, the Ten Utterances, which have two sets of cantillations, Ta'amim Elyon and Ta'amim Tachton. My commentary. For this reason, it is hard to know how many different versions of chanting were in use historically, as well as codifying the number in use today. We're continuing the list. There is the High Holiday Melodies, which are different than the regular readings. the Haftarah, the Megillat Esther, the three Megillot, Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, the Megillah Ruth, and Kohelet, called in English Ecclesiastes. Are they really different? And I am adding, the categorization can be different, and that will lead to a different result. The purpose of the marks for synagogue use, a primary purpose of the cantillation signs is to guide the chanting of the sacred text during public worship. Very roughly speaking, each word of text has a cantillation mark at its primary accent, and associated with that mark is a musical phrase that tells how to sing that word. The reality is more complex, with some words having two or no marks, and the musical meaning of some marks dependent upon context. There are different sets of musical phrases associated with different sections of the Bible. The music varies with different Jewish traditions and individual cantorial styles. I am adding, when I learned to chant trope, I was told that every letter has a trope mark, yet the majority of the marks are concealed. Thus, if a letter within a word does not have a mark, then its mark is concealed. Explanation to the text. The cantillation signs also provide information on the syntactical structure of the text, and some say they are a commentary on the text itself, highlighting important ideas musically. The tropes are not random strings, but follow a set and describable grammar. The very word ta'am, used in Hebrew to refer to the cantillation marks, literally means a taste or a sense. The point being that the pauses and intonations denoted by the accents, with or without formal musical rendition, bring out the sense of the passage. Besides for telling us how to sing, the cantillation marks are considered part of the oral Torah, since they give syntax and structure to the verses, and actually affect the meaning of the verses that are read. Hanok, I am adding, I suggest one substitute the word impact for the word effect. The mystics add that there are many secrets and layers of meaning in the Torah that can only be understood through the cantillations. This is the teaching of Rabbi Cordovero. Here is a short history of the trope. Three systems of Hebrew punctuation, including vowels and cantillation symbols, have been used: the Babylonian, the Palestinian, and the Tiberian, only the last of which is used today. The Babylonian system. The Babylonian biblical manuscripts from the Jaionic period contain no cantillation marks in the current sense, but they do contain small Hebrew letters that are used to mark significant divisions within a verse. Up to 8 different letters are found, depending on the importance of the break and where it occurs in the verse. These correspond roughly to the disjunctives of the Tiberian system. For example, in some manuscripts, the letter Tav for Tavir, meaning break, does duty for both the Tiberian Tavir and the Sakef. In general, there are no symbols for the conjunctives, though some late manuscripts use the Tiberian symbols for these. There is also no equivalent for low-grade disjunctives, such as the Talisha Gedola. These are generally replaced by the equivalent of Shakef or Revia. A disjunctive implies a break. A conjunctive implies a connection. Nothing is known of the musical realization of these marks, but it seems likely that they represent breaks or variations in a set melody applied to each verse. A somewhat similar system is used in manuscripts of the Quran to guide the reader in fitting the chant to the verse. This system is reflected in the cantillation practices of the Yemenite Jews, who now use the Tiberian symbols, but tend to have musical motifs only for the disjunctives and render the conjunctives in a monotone. It is notable that the Yemenite Jews have only 8 disjunctive motifs, thus clearly reflecting the Babylonian notation. The same is true of the Karait mode for the Haftorah, while in the Sephardi Haftorah modes, different disjunctives often have the same or closely similar motifs. Reducing the total number of effective motifs to something like the same number. The Palestinian system. The Babylonian system, as mentioned above, is mainly concerned with showing breaks in the verse. Early manuscripts, by contrast, are mainly concerned with showing phrases. For example, the Tifcha Enachta, the Zarka Sekolta, and the Pashta Sakif sequences, with or without intervening unaccented words. These sequences are generally linked by a series of dots, beginning or ending with a dash or a dot in a different place, to show which sequences is meant. Unaccented words, which in the Tiberian system carry conjunctives, are generally shown by a dot following the word, as if to link it to the following word. There are separate symbols for more elaborate tropes like Pazer and Talisha Gedola. The manuscripts are extremely fragmentary, no two of them following quite the same conventions, and these marks may represent the individual reader's aid, his memoir, rather than a formal system of punctuation. For example, vowel signs are often used only when the word would otherwise be ambiguous. In one manuscript, presumably of somewhat later date than the others, there are separate marks for different conjunctives, although outnumbering those in the Tiberian system. For example, the Munach before the Etnachta has a different sign from the Munach before the Zakef. And the overall system approaches the Tiberian in comprehensiveness. In some other manuscripts, in particular those containing Targunim, rather than the original text, the Tiberian symbols have been added by a later hand. In general, it may be observed that the Palestinian and Tiberian systems are far more closely related to each other than either is to the Babylonian. The system of phrasing in the Sephardic cantillation notes, in which the conjunctives, and to some extent the near companions, such as the Tithka, the Pashta, and the Zarka, are rendered as flourishes leading into the motif of the following disjunctive, rather than as motifs in their own right. The somewhat inconsistent use of dots above and below the words as disjunctives is closely similar to that found in Syriac texts. Kali also notes some similarity with the punctuation of the Samaritan Hebrew. The Tiberian system. By the 10th century, the chant in use in Palestine had clearly become more complex, both because of the existence of Pazer, Geresh, and Talisha motifs in longer verses, and because the realization of a phrase ending with a given type of break varied according to the number of words and syllables in the phrase. The Tiberian Nazaret, therefore, decided to invent a comprehensive notation with a symbol on each word to replace the fragmentary systems previously in use. In particular, it was necessary to invent a range of different conjunctive accents to show how to introduce and elaborate the main motif in longer phrases. For example, the tavir is preceded by a mercha, a short flourish, in shorter phrases, but by the darga, a more elaborate run of notes, in longer phrases. The system they devise is the one in use today, and is found in biblical manuscripts such as the Aleppo Codex. A Masoretic treatise called Dikduk HaTe'amim, The Precise Rules of the Accents, by Aaron ben Moses ben Asher, survives, though both the names and the classification of the accents differ somewhat from those of the present day. As the accents were and are not shown on a Torah scroll, it was found necessary to have a person making hand signals to the reader to show the tune, as in the Byzantine system of numis. The system of chironomy survives in some communities in the present day, noticeably in Italy. It is speculated that both the shapes and the names of some of the accents, the tifcha, literally the hand breath, may refer to the hand signals rather than to the syntactical functions or melodies denoted by them. Today, in most communities, there is no system of hand signals, and the reader learns the melody of each reading in advance. The Tiberian system spread quickly and was accepted in all communities by the 13th century. Each community reinterpreted its reading tradition so as to allocate one short musical motif to each symbol. This process has gone furthest in the Western Ashkenazi and the Ottoman, the Jerusalem Sephardi, Syrian systems. Traditions. Learning the accents and their musical rendition is now an important part of the preparation for bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, as this is the first occasion on which a person reads from the Torah in public. In the early period of the Reform movement, there was a move to abandon the system of cantillation and give scriptural readings in normal speech, in either Hebrew or in the vernacular. In recent decades, however, traditional cantillation has been restored in many communities. My commentary. Generally, we see that trope is not recognized as an important aspect of the letter itself, and is also confusing as to the documentation and history. Kabbalistically speaking, each letter has four components. These relate metaphorically to the four letters of the name of Hashem. The four aspects of the letters are ta'amim, or crowns. The yud is connected to this. The vowels connect to the upper he. The sound of the letter connects to the vav, and the shape of the letter to the lower he. The trope does not have any connection to these unless you feel that the music of the chant is an integral connection to the sound of the letter. In the opinion and the teachings of my trope teacher, this is true. Music of the reading is part of the sound of the letters. There are different systems for different sets of books. There are two systems of cantillation marks in the Tanakh. One is used in the 21 prose books, while the other appears in the three poetical books of Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. Except where otherwise stated, this article is describing the prose system. Traditional roots. The traditional system of cantillation notes has its historical roots in the Tiberian Masorah, the Tiberian tradition. The cantillation signs are included in Unicode as characters U plus 0591 through U plus 05AF. In the Hebrew block of letters. My commentary. Unicode is a term used in printing. Anything listed in the Unicode has a description of size, shape, location with respect to the letter when printing any of the Hebrew letters from the Bible. Different naming according to rites. The names of the sum of the cantillation signs differ in the Ashkenazi, the Sephardi, the Italian, and the Yemenite traditions. For example, the Sephardim use kadma to mean what Ashkenazim call pashta, and azia to mean what Ashkenazim call kadma. In the article, as in almost all Hebrew grammars, the Ashkenazi terminology is used. The names in other traditions are shown in the table below. And as an unwritten commentary, the table below is not yet complete and is now at the bottom of the page. But it's not evaluated or set up for the HTML, so it does not read correctly on a web page. If Functions of cancellation signs in explanation of text. The cancellation signs serve three functions. Syntax. They divide biblical verses into smaller units of meaning, a function which also gives them a limited but somewhat important role as a source for critical explanation or interpretation of a text, especially of strict scripture. This function is accomplished through the use of various conjunctive signs, connecting signs, which indicate that words should be connected in a single phrase, and especially a hierarchy of dividing signs of various strength, which divide each verse into smaller parse phrases. The function of the disjunctive cantillation signs may be roughly compared to a modern punctuation signs, such as a period, a comma, a semicolon, and the other grammatical indications. Another function is phonetics. Most of the cantillation signs indicate the specific syllable where the stress, the accent, falls in the pronunciation of a word. This is an unwritten commentary, but this is especially a good example of this, is the word Kabbalah. Because in Hebrew, the accent is on the second syllable, Kabbalah, Kabbalah. Another way of pronouncing it, the same word in English, is Kabbalah, because the accent is on the first verse. So knowing where to put the accent is an important part of reading. It's an important part of understanding. And the third function that the cantillation signs affects have musical value. Reading the Hebrew Bible with cantillation becomes a musical chant, where the music itself serves as a tool to emphasize the proper accentuation and syntax, as mentioned previously. And this is an unwritten commentary. I once heard an absolutely amazing rendition of the Megillah Esther. As you know, there are various people speaking in the scroll. The story is being told through people. There's Haman. There's Vashti. There's Esther. There's Hashem. There's Ahasuerus. This reader, who did not read the whole scroll, but just two chapters, used the cantillation marks. The songs were always consistent among the characters, but the voice intonation was clearly identified to the character. That is what is being described in this section where I just read about the cantillation marks being music. Syntax. In general, each word of the Tanakh has one cantillation sign. Excuse me for a second. This may be either a disjunctive, showing a division between that and the following word, or a conjunctive joining the two words, like a slur in music. Thus, disjunctives divide a verse into phrases, and within each phrase, all the words except the last carry conjunctives. There are two types of exceptions to the rule about words having only one sign. A group of words joined by hyphens is regarded as one word, so they only have one accent between them, one trope. Conversely, a long word may have two, a disjunctive on the stressed syllable and the related conjunctive two syllables before, in place of metek, a single stroke mark in the biblical Hebrew. It is identical in form to a suluk, another mark. The disjunctives are traditionally divided into four levels, with the lower level disjunctives marking less important breaks. The first level, known as emperors, including sof pasuk and suluk, marking the end of the verse, and atnach or etnachta, marking the middle. The second level, known as kings, the usual second level disjunctive is zachef, katon, when on its own this becomes zachef gadol. This is replaced by tifcha when in the immediate neighborhood of sof pasuk or atnach. A stronger second-level disjunctive used in very long verses is segol, when it occurs on its own. This may be replaced by the shalshelet. And the third level is known as dukes. The usual third-level disjunctive is rabia. For musical reasons, this is replaced by zarka when in the vicinity of segol, by Pashta or Yetiv when in the vicinity of Zakeh, and by Tavir when in the vicinity of Tifcha. The fourth level is known as counts. These are found mainly in longer verses and tend to cluster near the beginning of a half verse. For this reason, their musical realization is usually more elaborate than that of the higher level of disjunctives. They are Pazer, Geresh, Gershayim, Talisha Gdola, and Munach Legamei, and Gamei Farah. The general conjunctive is a Munach, depending on which disjunctive follows. This may be replaced by a mercha, a machpach, darga, kadma, talisha, kithana, or a yerach ben yomo. One other symbol is the mercha kifula, the double mercha. There are some arguments about whether this is another conjunctive or an occasional replacement for a tavir. Disjunctives have a function somewhat similar to punctuation in Western languages. The sof pasuk could be thought of as the full stop of atnach, as a semicolon, the second level disjunctives as commas, and third level disjunctives as commas or unmarked, where two words are written in the construct state. For example, Pene Hamayim, the face of the waters. The first noun, nomen, regens, invariably carries a conjunctive. The cantillation signs are often an important aid in the interpretation of a passage. For example, the words Kol Kore Bamidbar Panuderach, Hashem, is translated in the authorized version as the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, as the word kore takes the high-level disjunctive sakef katon, this meaning is discouraged by the cantillation marks. Accordingly, the New Revised Standard Version translates, a voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. While the New Jewish Publication Society version has a voice rings out, clear in the desert, a road for the Lord. We are out of time, and so we will stop here as this is part one of these classes. And while it will not be next week, as in a few weeks, we will finish this handout, finish this these classes as we go forward. I will mention that there is the half shekel donation, which I will be discussing next Sunday. And this is always done on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we will be doing it next Sunday, which is the day, the first day after the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Tomorrow, or later today at 3 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a class in Advanced Reincarnation, continuing our study of the same subject. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we continue our preparation for the Tanit Dibur. And Monday afternoon and evening, there are two classes, a deeper Zohar class at 4:30, and the continuation of Rabbi Ashlag's teachings in his essays and the at the 7 o'clock class. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a wonderful Shabbat, a good week, serenity, happiness, and joy. Shalom to all.
Thank you.